The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Little Museum of Dublin this morning reopens after a multi-million refurbishment and a brand new lift for accessibility. Ranked as the number one thing to do in Dublin and number 12 among Europe's top 25 attractions on TripAdvisor, Henry McKean got a sneak peek of the fully renovated museum as it returns to its stunning Georgian home on St. Stephen's Green after that €4.3 million transformation. And he sent us this report.
My name is Sarah Clancy. I'm CEO of the Little Museum of Dublin.
I'm Daryl Hendley-Rooney, the Deputy Curator at the museum.
Tell me about this museum when it first opened and this huge redevelopment, even though it's still little.
So the Little Museum, yeah, going right back to the beginning, we were set up in 2011 with a public appeal for artefacts. So we said to the people of Dublin at home and overseas, we want to tell your story, please help us. Over the first 6 weeks, over 1,000 people donated artefacts to help us to tell the story of the city. And now today, we have a collection of over 5,000 objects to tell the story of the social, political and cultural history of Dublin. So more recently, we have recently completed a very large multi-million euro renovation to enter into the new chapter of the Little Museum of Dublin. So what we have accomplished is we have built new expanded exhibitions which allow us to tell more important stories about the city's rich history. We've built a purpose built youth education centre, so a civic education centre at the heart of the museum experience, and also really crucially, we've recently built a lift, so this is going to increase accessibility and inclusion in the museum for the years ahead.
So you've made a 4 million or 4.3 million investment in this Little Museum of Dublin, and we're here in it on St. Stephen's Green in this massive, beautiful building. Describe the building.
Our primary artefact, our main artefact, is the building itself. It was first occupied in 1778. And I think I always say to people, when you come into the museum proper, look up, because there is some exquisite plasterwork that's original. It's just been conserved recently and been touched up. And I think that is just such a special thing to see in a building like this. You know, this is our main artefact.
Just behind me, I'm noticing Charlie Hoy having a pint of Guinness and also a Papal Mass Phoenix Park advert telling people what public transport to take back in 1979. You really tapped into something back in 2011. And I understand this museum is extremely popular.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose it's tapping into the multifaceted story of the capital, whether it's going back to the Vikings or indeed Charles Haughey having that point there in that great photograph from Eric Luke. It's telling that story in all its different ways, looking at the various communities, the people who have made Dublin what it is today.
What I love about the museum is it really brings us closer to who we are as people. Like, we're a storytelling museum, so every guest who comes into the front door of 15 St. Stephen's Green goes on a guided tour. They meet one of our incredible storytellers who get to go and learn more about our collection. And so over the course of a tour, when you're hearing these stories that Daryl's talking to us about, you get this opportunity to stop and pause and reflect. And personally, the moments that I find are most special are when you see a child, a parent and a grandparent coming in on these multi-generational visits. It's the moment when a grandparent points to an object and says, "I remember when your mother was your age." That is the moment in which this building sings. That is the moment that I look around and go, "I am so proud to be doing what we're doing here today." This morning, we are opening the Little Museum at 15 St. Stephen's Green. Guests can immediately book their tickets in advance on littlemuseum.ie.
So we've just walked in to a kind of music exhibition, and I can see lots of U2 memorabilia, some of it perhaps completely priceless. What are we looking at here?
So this is our exhibition dedicated to the story of U2. It's called Made in Dublin. And many of your listeners who have been here before may have seen this exhibition before. But what we've done this time around is we brought more of the local musicians into the frame. So whether that's the Boomtown Rats, Bagatelle, Sinead O'Connor, the Dubliners. So it's really setting the scene, the music scene from which U2 emerged.
And fans will absolutely love this. And I'm just looking around and bringing back memories of different U2 albums. Octum Baby, there's a big theme of that here. And in front of us here, we have a Trabant, which was a big thing that U2 were into as the Berlin Wall came down. What's this?
So here we've got a Trevant, which was an artefact that was used as part of the Europa tour, so part of the stage design. So we worked with Mazur, the local artist, to visually curate an exhibit here that kind of enables guests to come in and have this interactive social experience as part of their tour.
And it's fiberglass. I never knew that. I never knew that the Trabants were fiberglass when I banged it there. It's not metal. God, this is actually really quite exciting. For the listeners at home, what else is in this exhibition, in this room?
Well, one of the really interesting pieces is actually the original sign from McGonagall's, which so many of your listeners will know is a great music venue, particularly for up-and-coming acts. And it's where you two obviously cut their teeth. We also have an incredible maquette of the statue, the head of Luke Kelly, which Vera Clute has given us. And it's, you know, it's amazing to celebrate great Dubliners like Luke Kelly.
It's fantastic. I feel like I'm in a sort of 1980s teenage boy's bedroom.
It's a bit like that, yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not old enough to remember what life was like in the 1980s, but certainly anyone who comes here can really feel that. And actually, a really great image that speaks to life in the late 70s and 80s, that period from which you two emerged, is this school photograph from Mount Temple. It was a graduating class photograph.
Fantastic.
Which features Bono when he was then known as Paul Hewson. And he's leaning on the supportive shoulder of a young girl called Ali, who would later obviously become his wife.
I've just found a little piece here, a little box saying pop on it. What's that?
That is a box of condoms that were handed out as part of the publicity for U2's pop tour. And they were actually banned at one point from handing them out. And Paul McGuinness handed them out for free to fans at the concert. So, yeah, they're iconic. We have them framed here. I think the use-by date are probably gone on those ones, Henry.
Okay, so we're walking into this other amazing room. Describe where we are. I'm noticing lots and lots of different things on the wall. Everything from Brian O'Driscoll's hat-trick 2000 Irish rugby jersey in Paris to a poster of Michelle Smith. We've got 40-foot, a photograph of 40-foot. We've got White Lady, who is basically a piece of art that would be in the windows of lots of people's apartments across the city. Tell us about the inspiration of this room.
Well, you're very welcome, Henry, to modern Ireland. So this room is called the Treasury. It's our gallery that celebrates and illustrates life in effectively Free State Ireland, so from 40s really onwards. So as you said, I mean, the one thing we always think of is how do we create something that's really visually, like, impressive, and that really tells the multifaceted story of the city while you're in here. So it could be anything from that great movie poster of My Left Foot starring Daniel Day-Lewis to something like, for example, here, there are Mary McAleese's communion rosary beads, which she gave us herself.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, the really amazing thing about working this building and this museum, this institution, is it's the story behind these objects. And sometimes it's the story behind the objects that is actually more interesting than the objects themselves. Sometimes it'd be quite mundane things. For example, this here, that is the thumb of the statue of Father Theobald Matthew on Upper O'Connell Street. And that was given to us in the last year by a woman who was at the parade of the Irish soccer team following Italia 90 when they come up the open-top bus on O'Connell Street. This woman was standing beside the statue, and a group of little local boys couldn't see past the crowd, climbed up the statue, and one of them accidentally pulled the thumb off.
Unbelievable.
Which hit the pavement beside her. And she picked it up and had great intentions on giving it to the Office of Public Works or the Monument Service. And like every great Irish procrastinator, it was on our kitchen table for the years between, for the last few decades. So we have it now, and it's just a great story. It's a great Dublin story.
So it's nostalgia. It's modern history. And we've even got a racer over here. We've got a rally in perfect nick from the 80s. Who used to own this?
That was the bike Stephen Roach won the Ross Talchin on. It's a beautiful bike, and it's actually, it belongs now to Dr. Tom Daly, a great sports historian, cycling historian. And it's called the Gift Bike, and it's called the Gift Bike because money has never transferred hands, Henry. There's been five owners of that bike, and we have it here in the museum to celebrate Irish cycling history. history. The difficult thing about curating a museum like this is that you're at the behest of what you have, because our collections policy is by donation. So, you know, sometimes people come in and say, well, what about this? Where's that? You know, but if we haven't got it, you know, we can't display it. So that's why we always encourage people, particularly anyone who visited, and if they think there's something that we're missing, to encourage people to help us fill the lacunae in the collection. So we were at the National Ploughing Championships last year, and a little boy came up to me and he says, where's Mick? And I said, what do you mean, where's Mick? He said, where's Mick? And he said, Michael Collins. And I had stupidly brought a beautiful Mick O'Dea painting of Eamon de Valera, but I didn't bring anything with me related to Michael Collins. And this little 9-year-old boy reminded me of that omission. Yeah. But we don't have a lot of material related to Michael Collins, for example. But very recently, a woman donated her grandfather's original photographs of his funeral, which she had taken. So we have them in the collection now.
We're still touring around. We were just there in the 1916 room. I noticed there was some very interesting stuff on the wall, including Jewish Dublin.
Yeah, so the 1916 room, that's where our visitors start their guided tour experience. But we also have a number of exhibits, little potted histories about various themes related to the city. So, for example, Victorian Dublin, the history of Jewish Dublin or Little Jerusalem around the Portobello area of the city, Oscar Wilde, and also finally Nelson's Pillar. One of the great things in this museum is that it's the connection between the people who come here. So, for example, we had a woman who was visiting. She was from Kilkenny herself, which is here in the Irish Times room. And in one of the old press photographs, she saw her mother, and she was actually churning butter. And she saw that photograph and she got so overwhelmed. And I was just happened to be walking through the building and I said, how are you getting on? And she stopped and said, you'll never believe that's my mother.
Wow.
And it was just such a visceral experience for this woman. She actually had to take a seat at the desk here beside me, and she took out her phone. She rang her brother. She's like, I had to ring him. She's like, this is just incredible. But it's those sort of experiences when you're here, you never know what you might be connected to.
And that's Henry McKean reporting from the Little Museum of Dublin, which reopens today after an extensive refurbishment costing €4.3 million.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.